Everybody good this morning? All right, well, last week we were looking at your family name. And we saw that your family name, or family names in general, or surnames, family names carry with them varying degrees or varying levels of authority. If you happen to have the last name that is Rockefeller or Gates or Bush or Kennedy or something like that, if you happen to carry that name, doors that are closed to other people will be opened up to you just because you carry that name. And people that have that family name, well, they may have done nothing to earn or merit the favor or the privileges of that name. It just comes with that name. Well, the good news for you and I, as we learned last week in Ephesians chapter 3, the good news for you and I is that we have been named by the name of Jesus Christ. We've been named by the name that is the head of our family, Jesus Christ. So you carry the family name that is the name above all names. That's the power and the authority that we have with us. You carry that name. You are part of a family. You are part of a family that has power, has authority, has righteousness, and has honor. This is the family that you're a part of. We also saw last week from, I think it was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We saw last week in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, what our position is within that family. And our position is that of royal priesthood. Royal means royal. That's all good. We like that. Jesus has ascended to the throne. And because you're a joint heir with Jesus, you share that same power with Jesus. So all the things of this world must submit to the word of Jesus Christ that you speak in the authority of his name, the name that you carry, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, priesthood, it means a lot more. I'm kind of making this really simple just for purposes of review. But priesthood indicates that you are always, ever present with God the Father. He is always with you, and you always, as a priest, you always hear his name. So that's kind of a quick overview we looked at last week. This week, I'm going to look at really two verses in particular. We're going to spend a lot of time looking at these verses. So let's lay the foundation. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Those of you that have been coming to Bible study, this should be review for you. Although we're going to look at stuff we never looked at in Bible study. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it does not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now, I want to look at just that first verse, but I want to look at that first verse from the Amplified Bible. So, whatever version you have, just read it up here from the Amplified. So the Amplified says this in verse number 1. It says, "See, what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God, and so we are. The reason that the world does not recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, or acknowledge Him." So we see in that first verse, we see what we were looking at last week, we see once again that we are made a part of His family. But we also see once again that we've been given the family name. Here it says, as part of the family, it identifies us as children. We are His children. Now in the Greek, children here means this. It means those to whom God loves and cherishes as a father. So think about that again. You are part of the family. You carry the family name. You are a child of God. And a child of God, being children of God, means those to whom God loves and cherishes as a father. Let me tell you, that phrase takes on a whole lot more meaning for me just in the last couple of weeks. There's something special. That's a good position to be in. He loves you and cherishes you like a father does. Now it also says, when you see that verse, the way it starts off. It starts off with see. In other versions, it uses the word behold. So we are to see. We're to behold. We are to look for the purposes of taking onto ourselves. We are to look for so that we can take upon ourselves that unique quality, that incredible quality of His love. See, what an incredible quality of love the Father has for you. We should behold, we should lay hold of that incredible quality of love that God has for you. So what does it mean, incredible quality of love? Again, if we look at the Greek, that phrase in the Greek essentially means this. In the Greek, it means to the effect or the proof of His love. So the effect of the incredible quality of His love, the effect of His love is that He has called you into the family. He's made you a member of His family. The proof of His love is that He has given you the family name. You have the full authority and the full power of that name of Jesus Christ to see the supernatural demonstrated in your life and in the lives of those people that you pray for and that you are investing in. This is the incredible quality of the love. It's just not a love. This is the incredible quality of the love that God the Father has for you because He's made you. The effect is He's made you part of the family. The proof is that power demonstrated through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. This is the way that we should be living our lives. You know, for us in our natural mind has a really hard time. It can't process that unique, that incredible quality of love that God has for us because we're not familiar with it. There's nothing that we can compare it to here in this life. You know what? Parental love in this present life is a great and an amazing thing. But parental love in this life doesn't reach to the standard of that unique, of that incredible quality of love that God as your Father pours out to you every single day. Let me describe it to you this way. Now, this would be true of mothers or fathers, but just to make it easy so I can identify, I'm going to say my mother. So, my mother, I know that my mother loves me. I know she loves me entirely. I know that it doesn't matter what I may have done. She will always love me because she's mom. She has no choice. She loves me no matter what I do. She loves me. But here's the thing. She didn't choose me. See, back on April 21st, 1960, my mom wasn't walking down to the nursery of Rainbow Babies and Children Hospital in Cleveland. She didn't go down to the nursery and look into that window and see all those babies and say, okay, so God, what's this one going to be like? Nope, don't want that one. How about this one? That's the one I'll take. No, she didn't choose me. I was a gift of God. I just love saying that. I was a gift of God to my mother. But then so were you. You were a gift of God to your mom and dad. And so as a gift, my mom loves me as a gift, just as your parents love you. Now, as time goes by, perhaps, you know, she may think once again, she may reconsider, she may choose something differently as life goes on. She may think, why did I? If I had a choice to make, maybe I would choose differently. But she's your mom. She's my mom. She loves me. She will love me in all things. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about the fact that God has chosen you. Given the choice, He chose you. That's an amazing thing. You know, there's another kind of love. Donna loves me. She loves me. I see it every time I look. See, right there it is. I see it every time I look into her eyes. I know that Donna loves me. And you know what? Donna chose me. She didn't have a lot of time to think about it, so that's good. Actually, she had 3 years, so she had plenty of time. But Donna chose me. But even though Donna chose me, she still could never fully know me because we all hide, you know, certain things that we don't want to show to other people. So she loves me, and she chose me, but she couldn't know me all the way through to who I am. Jesus knows me. There's nothing in me that is hidden. And yet Jesus still chooses to love me. I may be a disappointment at times to Jesus. But even though He knew that I would be a disappointment to Him, and even though He knew that I would fail Him, He still chose me in the same way that He still chose you. That's the incredible quality of the love that God has for you that's talked about. This is the quality of love that we have because you are a part of the family. This is your family name. This is what you carry with you. Now, it's important for us to remember that we're not born of God. That's not a popular thing to say, not to think about. But the truth of the matter is, you're not born of God. God created you. But you were born into sin because you were born into a fallen world. When you were born separated from God because your spirit was not connected to God. We were not born of God. But this is what it says in John chapter 8. Now, I want you to think about this. John chapter 8, I think it's verse number 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. This is what Jesus said to those who did not accept him, who would not accept him, and who would not accept being a member of their family. Here's what Jesus said to them. You are of your father, the devil. So those who have not accepted Jesus Christ, we're not, until we accept Jesus Christ, we're not born of God. We're born of the world. Jesus said, you are born, or you, how do you say that? You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of the father, you want to do. You are not born of God, but God, showing the incredible quality of his love for you. You weren't born of God. Because of that incredible quality of the love that God has for you, he has demonstrated that love to you by the work of Jesus Christ. This is why the Bible says to us that even while you were still a sinner, he loved you. And he chose you, even while a sinner. This is the incredible quality of the love that God has for us. Even while we were a sinner, he still chose us. He still loved us. He's made us his children. We are now born of God. We now are born of God. Because if we accepted his sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, if we've accepted that, then we are born again. He has now become our Father, and we are his children. This is a unique kind of love that you will not experience in any other part of your life because God chose you. God chose you. That's part of being a part of the family. Let's go back and look at verse number 1 again from the Amplified Bible. So I'm going to read this to you again. Verse number 1, because I want you to see some different parts of this. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, or acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, or acknowledge him. So this is saying that as children of God, as those who are the recipients of that unique, that incredible quality of his love. You are named, you are called, and you are counted as his children. Because of that unique love, you're named, you're called, you're counted as his children. Let's look at the first part of that. You are named because of his incredible love for you. You are named. Now, we've already talked about the fact that because you're named, you carry the power of that name. You carry the authority of that name. But there's also something else here. Because being named has a personal note to it. There's something personal. This makes it personal. Being named makes it personal with God. It's personal when it comes to you. See, we think of ourselves as children of God. And it's easy for us to think of ourselves as children of God. Well, I'm just one of several billion people on the face of the planet. How unique is that? Doesn't feel very unique. But being named means that God, it's personal with him where you're concerned. Because when you're passionate about something, you name it. If he named you, it's because he's passionate about you. You as an individual, you as his individual child. That's the incredible quality of his love. It's beyond what we can possibly imagine or think of ourselves. But that's what it is. Let me give you a really rudimentary example of this so we can kind of understand this. How many of you have ever gone and picked a dog? Okay, so a lot of us have had that experience. So when you went to the kennel or you went to whatever the place was where you chose that dog, the reason you chose that dog was that dog that you chose did something to tug at your heart. Either the way it looked at you or the way it came up, that dog did something to make you choose that dog. It was a personal choice that you yourself made for that dog. And because it was a personal choice, the response of that personal choice that you made was you named the dog. You didn't take the dog home and call it Dog, leaving it undistinguished from all the other canine population of the world, right? I hope you didn't. No, you gave the dog a name. You gave it a name, something that was special to you, something that was personal to you. You named the dog because when you name the dog, you are making it unique. You are making it separate from all the others because you chose it and it's yours. Make sense? Can you see how this fits with God and how he chose you? Now, let me elevate this several degrees. Let me take this to the human point. When Mark and Diane, when they were going to have their first child, when Rachel was about to be born, they didn't choose the name child. They didn't say girl number one. You weren't choosing those names, were you? Okay. Was there a name for Rachel if she was going to be a boy? Was it Aaron? Would it have been Aaron 1 and Aaron 2? Oh, okay. Well, the point of the matter is, because they're passionate about her, they didn't name her child or person. No, they gave her a name. They gave her the name Rachel because what you're passionate about, you name. God has named you. That's what that verse says. Because of the incredible, unique quality of his love, you were named, you were called, and you were counted by God. God named you. He's given you the family name. You have the family name. In the same way, because of God's incredible love for you, he chose you. When he chose you, he didn't call you person. He didn't call you human. He didn't give you something totally impersonal like a number. He didn't look at you and say, hey, you, 2,087,265,113. That was your number, by the way, Rick. So you can either call Rick Rick, or you can call him 2,087,265,113. Check with Luella and see what she prefers. But that's not the way God does it. It's personal. God gave you a name because he's passionate about you. It's personal with him. This is the way that God is, and this is the way that he lives within us. It's personal. We see another time in the Bible, another example where there was giving of names. And we see that when we go back to the book of Genesis, and we see the creation story. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that God brought all the animals and he brought all the birds before Adam to see what Adam would name them. And whatever name Adam gave them, that was their name. Now, God had Adam name the animals because when you name something, you are taking personal responsibility for them. You are investing yourself in them. It goes back again, same way. When your family could have brought, listen, I had two siblings when I was growing up. We had two dogs. We never had a dog for more than 2 months, though, so I'm not quite sure what that says. But we had two dogs. But the person who named the dog, that was the person that was saying, I am taking personal responsibility for that dog because I've named him. God had Adam name the animals because God had Adam, being a social being, God had Adam name the animals because Adam was investing himself. He was taking personal responsibility. He was investing himself in those animals. Now, we see that God did the same thing. Again, we take this to a higher level. God did the same thing with Adam and with Eve. It says that God had Adam. God did have Adam name Eve so that Adam was investing himself in Eve. Adam was taking personal responsibility for his wife. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living things. Okay, so sidebar, just a note for you guys who are husbands or going to at some point be husbands. This is an important thing for us to realize. From the very beginning, this has been the example that God has set for us. As men, as husbands, we are supposed to invest ourselves into our wives. I should be taking responsibility for making sure I have a responsibility in God's eyes to make sure that Donna is growing in her relationship in the Lord. I have a responsibility to do all that I can to make her life successful. It's not my job to make her happy, but it's my job to do everything I can to help her achieve and to be all that she can be. This is my job and this is my responsibility. Now, maybe you didn't name your wife, but you gave your wife your name. She was Donna Fordyce. But she took my name. She took my family name. She's now Donna Hostetler. I have invested myself into her. I have a responsibility. This is sidebar. But that's something for us as men, as husbands, to understand. This is, again, that power that comes with naming. So let's go back to Adam again and God. So God created Adam, and he created Adam to be a social being. And we see that expressed in part by the fact that Adam named the animals. Or in other words, Adam invested himself in the animals. God created him to be social. Adam also gave the name to his wife. He invested himself in his wife. God created Adam to be social. That's part of why you see that naming process take place. Does that make sense? Everybody still tracking with me? Okay, so God created Adam to be social. Adam was created in God's image. Adam is social because God is social. God wants to be social with you and I. This has been the way from the time of Adam. This has been what God's desire has been, to walk in the garden, to have relationship. The most important thing for us, listen, this is going to sound really terrible, but this is true. You know, a lot of times we look at salvation and we think that people say that, well, we are saved so that we are free from sin. We are saved so that sin is put away. That's not the reason you were saved. The reason you were saved, the reason that Jesus came and died and shed his blood was so that you could have relationship again with God. The shedding of the blood to remove sin, that was the process of establishing that. But Jesus' blood was shed so that you would have relationship with him. God is a social being. He wants to be social with us. He requires, he desires for us to be social. He wants us to be social with him. This is, again, a measure of the incredible quality of love that God has for you and I. He wants us to be social, and he has shown his personal interest in you. He's shown his dedication to you. He's shown his personal investment to you by naming you, the one that he chose. God chose you. Given the choice, he chose you, and he named you. Now, we saw last week that surnames tie us to our family heritage. But your family name, your surname, that's no longer your family name. You have had a name change. You are now named as the family. You're named in the family of Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? Because I'm getting some kind of surprised looks from you. We went over this last week. This is not new information. You didn't look surprised last week when I said that to you. In the Bible, anytime that you see that somebody had a name change, that is something significant. Because when there's a name change in the Bible, it means that that person has a new role in his life. You see that when Abram had his name changed to Abraham. You saw that Jacob had his name changed to Israel. You saw that Simon had his name changed to Peter. Saul had his name changed to Paul. When there is a name change in the Bible, it's significant. So, when your name was changed, and it was when you became part of the family of God, when your name was changed, it signifies that you have a new role within your life because you are part of the new family. You are part of the family of Jesus Christ. You carry the family name. And with that family name, you carry the power and the authority that is in that name to see things take place. You are a new creation in Him. And there's an expectation that as a new creation, we will live differently. We will live seeing all those things that he's planned for our lives. We'll see those things come to pass, not because of your strength or my strength, but because of the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ that is in us. So this is who we are. Now, the really amazing thing was the prophet Isaiah spoke about that very name change He spoke about that prophetically. Look at Isaiah chapter 62, verse number 2. And I'm going to show you this from the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 62, verse number 2. You know, while you're looking that up, Alice asked me this week, she asked about my father's name, because sometimes people call him Dan, sometimes people call him Don. My dad's name was Daniel Donovan Hosteller. It was Daniel Donovan Hosteller Jr. But here's kind of an interesting thing, and it kind of relates to what we're talking about today. My grandfather's name, because he was Daniel Donovan Hosteller the first, my dad was Junior the second. My grandfather's name was not really Daniel Donovan. His name was Daniel, I don't even know what his middle name was. He had some different middle name. When he got out of college, he knew someone whose name was Donovan, and he thought, that is a cool name. And so he decided that Daniel Donovan would be a really cool name. And so the rest of his life, he never legally changed his name, but the rest of his life, he signed everything Daniel Donovan Hostetler. That wasn't his name. He chose that name for himself. Now, he gave that name to my father, and then my brother has the same name. So my brother's Daniel Donovan Hostetler the third, but since he really wasn't the first, my brother's actually Daniel Donovan Hostetler the second and the third, depending on how you look at it. So, but my grandfather chose that name for himself. You know, the beauty is, as we're talking about all this, the incredible quality of God's love for you is he chose you. And because he's passionate about you, he chose the name for you. And we're going to see in just a moment how much even more passionate, how much even more we don't even realize the passion he has for us and what that name change means. So Isaiah spoke of that name change prophetically. It says, and the nation shall see your righteousness and vindication, your rightness and justice, not your own, but his ascribed to you. Thank you, Jesus. And all kings shall behold your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. And your glory. That ties in with the word that God gave through Diane earlier this morning. Behold your salvation and glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. This is you. This is Isaiah talking about you in Jesus. Isaiah saw this coming, and now it's come to pass. And now that you are a part of the new, you're part of a new family. You're part of the family of Jesus Christ. You have that new name of Jesus Christ within you. But because with God, it's personal where you're concerned. Because it's personal with God, it doesn't just stop there. This is talking about the name change, that you no longer have the family name Hostetler or Smallman or whatever. You live that life, but your family name is the name of Jesus Christ. But because it's personal with God, he doesn't stop there. He goes even further. You're not going to see it or realize it in this life, but the Bible tells us that he also has changed your first name. This is how personal it is with him. If you go to Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17. I think the personal name he's given me, I think the name change he gave me has to be Scott. Because my entire life, people that I've known for like years will come up to me and say, hey, Scott. It's like, well, do I look like? But that's the one consistent name, so. It's not that I don't like the name Scott. I like the name Scott, but I hope he has something better for me. I hope he's got a name that sounds much more like the biblical names. It just sounds cool. All right, so Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. This is the level of how personal it is with God concerning you. You name something you're passionate about. He's changed your last name, your family name, but he's also given you a new name in your first name as well. He's passionate about you. This is your family name, and it's the personal name that he's given you as well. All right, let's go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1 again. I'm going to read this to you a third time. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not acknowledge us is that it does not recognize or acknowledge him. Not only, I mean, look at what this says. So we have named and called, permitted to be named and called. Not only are you named, you're also called. You are named by God, but you're also called by God. God has already brought you into the family. He's given you the family name when he purchased you at the price of his own blood. So God has brought you in, but now he's also calling you out. You've been named and you've been called. What does it mean to be called out? What does that mean for us in this present life? What does that mean for us today? Well, because you're in Jesus Christ, it means good things. Listen, look at this. This is John chapter 10, verse number 3. In John 10, 3, it says to him, the doorkeeper opens the door, the sheep will hear his voice. Here's the part I want you to see. And he, Jesus, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And leads them out. Jesus calls you. This is the part I want you to see. Sheep. And he calls his own sheep, you, by name, and he leads them out. You are named and you are called out. Every day, Jesus is calling you by name, by the personal name of passion that he gave you. He's calling you by name every day. And the one that named you is also the one that is now calling you out. Jesus calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. God is calling you out into the day. God is leading you out into your day, the day that he has created for you. God, because you're his sheep, God is leading you out into your day of victory and overcoming. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. He's called us out. Because you are his, because you carry the family name, because you bear the name by which he calls you personally, because of that, he calls you out. And so, as his own, you and I should be every day expecting to hear his voice as he calls us out today and tomorrow, as he calls us out every day into the victories that he has for you today, into the overcoming that he has for you today. This is what we should expect. Now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, again from the Amplified. So it says that because of the outstanding quality, the incredible quality of his love, you've been named, you've been called, and it says you've been counted the children of God. So you've been named, you've been called, and you've been counted. What does it mean to be counted? In the book of Psalms, Psalm 147, verse number 4, it says, talking about God, it says that he counts the number of stars and he calls them all by name. God counts the number of stars and he calls them all by name. Aaron, if you could pull up that picture, did you get the picture? If you can pull up that one picture, you're going to see, pardon me? Well, pick whichever one looks best. Okay, so this is called the Hubble Deep Field. Now, astronomers tell us that there is a billion galaxies in our universe, a billion. And in each galaxy, there's a billion stars. So this is called the Hubble Deep Field. Now, what the scientists did was they took the Hubble telescope and they looked and they saw a portion of the sky that looked unimpressive to them. It looked like there was nothing there. And so they focused the Hubble telescope at that spot where they thought they couldn't see it. Nothing was there. And it's roughly the size of your thumbnail. So picture them taking the Hubble telescope. You can choose all 360 degrees everywhere you look in the sky. They're taking something the size of your thumbnail and pointing the telescope, and this is what they saw. Each one of these things, every single one of these things you see, even these small little things, every one of these is a galaxy. And that's what they said is in an unimpressive, dark portion of the universe. Look at all those. Even these small little ones that you can barely see. And you know what? There's some beyond there that you can't even see. Even with a telescope, you can't see it. So there's billions of galaxies, and in every galaxy, there's billions of stars. Okay, so here's your mathematics. What's billion times a billion? I have no idea. It's a bunch of zeros. And it's not just billion times a billion. It's billions times a billion. And yet it says that God numbers. Okay, this one right here. I couldn't even number the ones in there. But it says that God numbers the stars. He counts the stars by number, and he calls them all by name. He counts them. So what does it mean to be counted? Well, it means that you're keeping track of. God is keeping track of you because he's passionate for you, because you're part of the family, because you carry the family name, and because he has given you, out of the passion he has for you, he's given you his name. Because of all of that, he's keeping track of you. His eyes are always on you. You can have the comfort and peace of knowing that you are counted by God. He knows what's going on in your life every single moment. Now, the stars are just counted and numbered. No, wait, named. They're named and counted. But for you, it's more than that. You are named, you are counted, and you are called. It's more for you. God keeps track of all the things of the stars, but he names the stars, he counts the stars, but he names you, he counts you, and he calls you. That means he has called you today and tomorrow. He has a very specific call for your life. It's for his glory and it's for his and for your good. It's personal. That's the incredible quality of the love that God has for us. All right, 1 John chapter 3. We're finally going to get to verse 2. This is verse number 2 in the Amplified. Don't worry, we're almost done. I'm not spending as much time with verse 2 as I did verse 1. So verse number 2, again from the Amplified Bible. 1 John 3. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him, for we shall see him just as he really is. There is so much we could say about that. There is so much in that, but I just want to focus on one little part of that as it pertains to us today. God has made you a part of his family. What do you know about people that are from the same family? Well, I'll tell you what, every time I look in the mirror, I see more and more of my dad. The more I look in the mirror, the more I see my dad. I take on his resemblance. You are a child of God. You are his family. You are of his blood. And as such, you take on his nature. You begin to look more and more like him, even in this life. The more that we remove the flesh, and this is what we talked about like a couple of weeks ago, the more that we remove his flesh, the more we get that flesh out of the way, the more we begin to take on that family resemblance. The more we remove the flesh, the more we take on the family resemblance, and the more we see the supernatural take place in our lives. All right, skip ahead 2 chapters. And I'm going to wind up with this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, this is one of my favorite verses. I'm only going to focus on part of it, but I just love this verse. If you listen to Prayer Closet, you hear this verse come up a lot. This in Ephesians 3:20. For different reasons. So 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, this is in the New King James. For whatever is born of God, this is what I want you to see. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You are born of God. You are now, because you accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, you are born of God. You're born again. And as whatever you is born of God overcomes the world. This is why it's important for us to realize our place within the family of God. Because we have the authority, because of who you are, because of your place. You carry the family name, the name that is above all names. You carry the authority of that name and you carry the power of that name to overcome all things in this life. You are born of God. You are part of his family. And you carry the power and the authority to overcome all things in this life. What is it in your life that you need to overcome? He's already done it for you. This is your position. Know your position. Know your place. Know who you are. You're a royal priesthood. Know that he is passionate about you. He's named you. He's called you. He's named you. He's called you. He's counted you. How much more could he show that he loves you and he's invested himself in you? You're a member of the family of God. You were born of God. You're an overcomer of all the things in the world. Amen? Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the incredible quality of your love. We thank you that you have called us. We thank you that you've named us. We thank you that you count us. We thank you that you've made us part of your family. And Jesus, we desire to be, in our lives, overcomers. But we also desire that as we pray, as we stand, as we know the power and the position that we have in your name, that as we pray for others, we'll see other lives changed as well. So we give you all the praise and the honor. Now let these words just kind of, let us meditate on those words. Just speak to us, Holy Spirit, so that we can come to a fuller understanding of all those things in our specific lives. We thank you and praise you for the incredible quality of your love. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship as we